A man sits in front of the desk of Derek Dilts at the headquarters of Rocket Ship One.
I just had our whole team review our financials. We're in bad shape, really bad shape.
That is too bad.
Dilts, have you been cheating the system? I mean, it's all a real mess.
Me cheating? Come now, Henderson, that would be completely illegal.
If things don't turn around quickly, this facility's going under, and we're going to be in serious trouble with the law.
That does sound sad. But why bother me with it all? After all, you're the CEO. You are responsible for it all.
It's like you don't even... Wait a minute. You knew this was going to happen. You're going to pin all this on me.
Boy, that does put you in a really bad situation, doesn't it?
Look, Dilts, I'm not going to take the fall for your...
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I need to get this. And it appears you have a lot of covering up to do to save your hide, since I've legally washed my hands of it all.
But we need to talk about it.
No, I need to take this. Now, please, leave.
This isn't over, Dilts. You're not going to get away with this.
I already have. Hello, Chester?
Look, Derek, I'm a rancher, not a thug.
Could have fooled me.
And I'm not used to doing this to people.
I certainly hope you're not calling to back out of our little deal.
We've created every problem we can think of for these people and their museum, and they still refuse to sell their ranch.
I did a little snooping. Found out that you only claimed about a third of your income on the last 4 years' taxes.
What? How did you know that?
No matter. But if the IRS found out... Oh, I think you'd be in serious trouble.
Okay. It seems like you've left me no choice. What do you want me to do?
Look, I have a way to cause them some serious pain. Here's what I want you to do. Have your hired hand go down to their ranch.
What are Derek Dilts and Chester Dillon up to? What kind of danger will they inflict on the Brennan Ranch? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Passage into the Deep.
While our team wasn't sure what Derek Dilts was up to, my father Kendall had called an emergency meeting in the conference room in Brennan Museum of Creation.
Miles, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Kendall. It's a nice break from the dino graveyard and the phones.
So, it appears that Derek Dilts is up to something big.
But Jim, why is he interested in our ranch?
Revenge, maybe?
Well, it certainly explains many of the things going wrong around here.
And it sounds like there might be more to come.
Jesse's right. So, Miles, we'd like you to become our disaster first responder.
Now you're talking. That's a job I was made for.
Okay. From now on, when Dilts makes an attempt to sabotage or anything else goes wrong, we bring it to Miles to manage. Make sense?
Yeah, sure. So what about Pastor Fletcher?
Actually, Jonathan, you and I have an appointment with him later this afternoon.
Can we show him the pastor's study we've been working on?
Kendall, we have the smart board hooked up and ready to go.
Does Eddie have Sicker Point loaded?
I believe so. Also, Katie and Jesse are continuing to assist me with the pastor's kit we're designing. Hey, Angela and Martha, how are the plans coming for our visitor appreciation day?
Well, it's been a challenge with all the problems, but I think we're getting it. Right, Martha?
I have a few possibilities on that. I'll share them with you later, Angela.
And Jim, how's the improvement project coming along?
I've got the Eagle's Nest continuing to scout the property, looking for ideas on how to improve our visitors' experience. I believe they're focusing on Hidden Cave today.
Great. Let's spend some time in prayer and press forward with our day. Henry?
Oh, yes, of course. Dear Father, we come before you today. We ask that we be pleasing to you in all that we do and say. We would also pray for our friend, Pastor Dennis, as Kendall and Jonathan meet him for lunch later this morning. We pray that you would be honored in all.
I know statistics. I know that wouldn't work out.
Quiet down, Stephen. I can't hear when you're yakking so much.
Do you know how absolutely silly you look? The pastor and Mr. Brennan will be here any minute.
Look, nothing beats an old-fashioned stethoscope for tracking down sounds in a wall.
I keep thinking you're not going to get very far with that.
Got any better ideas, Sprout?
Yes, I'll ask Sarii. And I don't think offensive names about my height are really going to be helpful.
Not height. Age. You're green like a sprout. And what is, sorry?
Sarii is a virtual cyber intelligence navigator. It's an app on my phone.
What's that got to do with our walls?
Well, watch and be amazed. Sarii, what would cause noises in walls?
Did you say pride goes before a fall?
You're right. It is intelligent. Or maybe more like wise.
No. What makes a noise in walls?
What makes toys in malls?
Ah, this app.
Modern times. Everyone's worried about the guy with a stethoscope, but no one blinks twice when some guy's arguing with his cyber intelligence.
So now what?
Shh. I think I know where it's coming from.
Ernest, sorry to bother you. We're going to show someone the new pastor's room. I believe you helped set that up, right, Stephen?
Yes, sir. I did some of the programming.
It's not finished yet, but you're the first pastor to actually see it.
Wow, I feel honored.
By the way, this is Ernest and Stephen from our maintenance team.
Yep, I hear it, but I can't tell where it's coming from.
Ernest, you know, it's actually going to get pretty noisy around here, so this might not be the best time to listen for those sounds.
Okay. And I was getting pretty close.
Thanks, Mr. Brennan. We'll come back later.
All right, boss. Just trying to get her done, that's all.
This is really something.
These shelves will contain some great books. And over there is going to be our video library. And pastors can use these desks to study.
So, exactly how will this work?
We'll eventually have volunteers staffing this room. They'll be available to answer questions and help pastors select free resources.
I'm impressed.
So, why don't you take a seat right there in the leather easy chair? You can be our first guest to test one of our smart board presentations.
Smart board? You mean this whiteboard stretched across the wall?
Yes, I can draw on it, play videos, move images around, run pre-programmed presentations, or any combination. We've actually loaded a program yesterday called Sicker Point. I think this fits well with the conversations we've been having. Can I show it to you?
Sure. I'd like to see how it works. But it needs to be quick. I'm supposed to get together with Dean while I'm up here in Abiquiú.
Okay, just let me select Sicker Point from the menu. Okay, on the screen you can see a timeline.
Wow, that's really neat.
For most of church history, Christians have accepted the plain meaning of Genesis. There was no reason not to. But look here. This is a thumbnail of James Hutton. Let me maximize it so you can see the full picture. Well, in 1787, he traveled to several interesting geologic places, the most famous being Sicker Point. You can see that it's a cliff along the coast in Scotland, right here on the map. He saw these horizontal layers over the top of these other vertical layers.
This is something how you can just make a map appear and then circle it with that pen.
Sure is. Anyway, Hutton claimed that millions of years of deep time were required to explain the rocks at Sicker Point. Not only were long ages involved in laying down the layers beneath, but tremendous forces in the earth were required to tip them up vertically, which also supposedly took long ages, as you can see in this animation.
What about the other layers?
Right, that was just the beginning. Now watch the graphic as the first vertical layers get eroded flat as if cut by a knife. Then the land sank down long enough for the ocean to lay down new horizontal layers on top of the ones that got worn flat. Then the land was lifted again as we see it today. Hutton persuaded himself that all these terrific changes simply must have taken millions of years.
I see his point.
Soon others came after him. Charles Lyell picked up on Hutton's work and began to travel the world looking for other geologic evidence in the rocks that seemed to demand long periods of time to form.
Christians were in a real pickle. The chronologies of the Bible clearly show the earth to be only thousands of years old, but scientists were supposedly showing it to be millions, possibly billions.
Exactly.
Dad, you should tell him what we learned about Sicker Point.
Oh, Pastor Fletcher, many geologists have gone back to Sicker Point. Hutton was right about the sequence of events he saw at Sicker Point, but ironically, we cannot deny the truth that the layers formed rapidly and did not require millions of years to perform.
Should we just keep going up past Twister's Tube?
This place always reminds me of a table made of rock.
Well, I don't care what anyone else says. I'm gonna plop right down here on this nice rock and eat lunch.
Peanut butter's mine!
Ham, mine too.
Here you all go. And peanut butter and salami with a hint of basil for me.
Only you, Eddie. Who's leading that tour up ahead?
Let's see. It's 1 o'clock. That would probably be Linda.
Oh, I almost forgot the napkins.
Too late. I already used my sleeve.
Timmy, are we not more refined than that? Cultured menus, napkins.
I find that hard to accept from someone who eats peanut butter and salami sandwiches.
The hint of basil is what adds the class. Hey, where'd my napkin go? I just set it right here.
There goes the culture.
Hey, shine your light up there. It's floating up in the air.
Whoa, there's a slight wind blowing past you. Feel it?
Where is it coming from?
It looks like the start of a passage.
Did we know about this one before?
No.
Look at all the rock rubble on the floor around it.
This must have opened up not so long ago.
Let's see where it leads.
Wait, if this is recent, that means something's been shifting.
Come on, we need to tell Dr. Park right away.
So, Kendall, what evidence did they find for layers forming rapidly at Sicker Point?
Oh, Pastor Fletcher, sand grains in the layers below are not typical sand grains. They are not rounded, but sharp and angular. This means they accumulated rapidly. And the mix of fossils in the layers above, including fish, land plants, and shelly ocean critters, suggests that they too were rapidly formed.
That's in contradiction to what Hutton claimed.
Well, remember that Hutton believed those rock layers folded on top of themselves. If they were ancient, like he believed, they would have been too ancient and brittle to bend like that. Some are bent like a hairpin. It sure looks like they were in a soft condition at the time.
Well, Pastor Fletcher, we actually visited Sicker Point. That's where some of these images came from. Anyway, if there were long periods of time between the formation of the layers, we should see evidence of wear between them. But we don't.
It appears they were laid down rapidly, one after another.
So, Pastor Fletcher, it seems that what Hutton believed was his best proof for millions of years was ironically deposited in a very short time.
Interesting. Okay, I really would like to hear more, but I need to meet Dean over at their ranch and then get back to Santa Fe for a Bible study tonight. Hey, would you have time for lunch tomorrow?
Shadow! Shadow, it's just Angela and Katie. Hold on.
You'd think he'd be used to this by now. Especially when he can probably hear us walking across the ranch.
Hello, Angela and Katie, come in.
Hey, what's happening?
We've been working on math. Mom said we could be finished when you got here.
Ryan, can you head out to the graveyard and help Caleb?
Yes, ma'am. See you later.
Bye. Bye, Ryan.
Katie, look at the new shelf with all the country china.
We just put them up yesterday.
These were the dishes Jim's mom used for their Sunday dinner when he was just a boy.
Oh, how precious. You have done such a great job displaying them. And the shelves go so well with the knotty pine walls.
Thanks, Angela. I've always loved the wood and open beam ceilings in this house. It's Jim's grandfather, of course, who gets the credit for building this home and the ranch from the ground up.
How amazing to think that Mr. Brennan has lived here in this rustic ranch house his whole life.
He's told me about what it was like, growing up, working hard to raise cattle with his dad and brothers.
He was the youngest, right?
Yes, of three. In his wildest dreams, he never thought he'd be the one to take over the ranch. And when his dad passed away, the other two were already living out of state and involved in their own businesses. So Jim took over the cattle operation and began farming.
You never told me that before.
Well, you do know that I also grew up on a farm, just down the road. So I've been his partner. My parents sold their place before they passed away. Things weren't going so well for us. The operation struggled. We had to sell property, and some of the herd died from disease. And then the Great Abiquiu Flood finished us off. We didn't know what was next.
That's when we met you.
And what an adventure we've been on ever since.
I remember sitting right over there in the dining room, these plates on the table, and his grandfather praying before the meal that this ranch would always be used for God's glory.
I wish Great-Grandpa could see his ranch now.
That's for sure. All the cattle are gone, but now millions of people visit the museum each year and hear the message of the Creator.
Oh, it reminds me of Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen. Well, come on in the living room and let's talk through the plans for our visitors' appreciation day. I've got about 90 minutes before Jim's going to be home, so I'll need to start dinner in a little while.
That night, Pastor Fletcher was leading a Bible study with a few families in Santa Fe.
Wow, isn't that an amazing story? That Jesus fed the entire crowd with 3 fish and 2 loaves of bread? I don't know, but to me, this just really shows that God has the ability to step out of the ordinary and do miracles.
Wow, that's really neat. Yes, Naren?
Some passages you just can't take literally.
I'm sorry, Naren. I trust God's word as inerrant.
Inerrant?
Yes, that means no mistakes.
What about this one? In Deuteronomy 14:11, there's a list of birds, and it includes the bat. Of course, the bat is a mammal, not a bird.
Didn't God know the difference?
I'll need to look into it.
This is one place of many where we can make the case that even though the Bible's not scientifically accurate, we need to see the eternal message.
But I'd have to disagree with you.
But you agree, some passages you just can't take literally.
Well, Pastor, he's got a point. I mean, from your sermons, it sounds like you don't believe that the days of Genesis were literal.
Funny you ask. I've really been thinking about that lately. I'd say no. I don't think so. I believe the Bible will always square with reality, and modern-day scientists seem to have shown the Earth to be older.
So, you and I believe the same way. In some places, the Bible's plain meaning is technically inaccurate on the face of it.
Naren...
But we need to understand the spiritual message God's making.
I wouldn't put it that way.
So, could this explain some of the miracles?
I'm just...
In other words, maybe they didn't actually happen the way they're told, but have more of a moral meaning behind them?
Exactly. That's my point.
But if you continue down that route, you could deny anything in the Bible. Everything, even the resurrection.
Maybe the real message isn't that Christ rose physically, but that he offers renewal, new life.
Naren, I think you're forgetting the importance of holding to the inerrancy of Scripture. It's fully accurate and reliable.
But, Pastor, you admit that science shows that we can't take the plain meaning of some passages like Genesis.
Naren.
Okay, guys. Hey, I think this is a great place to take a break, and I've got some snacks that I brought tonight.
The next morning, Dr. Benson joined up with the Eagle's Nest gang so they could show him the new opening that formed there.
Hey, look, it opens into a short passage.
That's what we noticed yesterday. Can we check it out? I'll go first.
We want to be very careful. We don't know how far back this goes or how safe it is.
Keep your headlamps trained straight ahead and watch your step.
This tunnel's been here the whole time. It's just this crevice finally opened up enough to reveal it.
Look ahead.
It looks like a small room, about 7 feet across.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. This is pretty amazing. Maybe we can add this to the tour?
We had no idea this was here. It's kind of a plain little room, isn't it?
A few curtains, hang some pictures, and it'll look just like home.
Eddie, this dark, musty cave does kind of remind me of your bedroom.
Shh! What was that?
Cracking! Something's cracking!
Where?
It's underneath our feet! Everyone, shine your lights down.
Oh no, nobody move a muscle. Hollow flow stone.
You mean we're standing on a thin layer of fragile rock?
Exactly. Everyone, get to the side and back into the tunnel. Slowly.
Here, little brother. Grab my hand.
What's flow stone?
When this room formed, there was most likely a deep deposit of sand. Calcium carbonate washed over the top of it, forming a very thin layer of rock. Later, the softer material below eroded, leaving this sheet suspended in midair.
I'm in.
Me too.
Whew. Well, that could have ended a lot different if we hadn't all made it back into the tunnel.
I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Eddie, what are you still doing out there?
Sometimes I freeze in the face of danger.
I'll go get him.
No extra weight.
What do I do?
Move toward us really slowly.
Hey, I'll just take one little teensy step forward and... Guys, I don't think this is going to end well.
Eddie, grab the wall or something.
Hold on, Eddie.
Just one more question before this floor drops out.
What?
Why is it always me?
Dean, you ever feel guilty for the kinds of things we're doing to these innocent people?
Ridge, I guess I just try to push it out of my mind and think about all my late bills that Chester's money's paying for.
Yeah, me too. But if we get caught doing this, making it rich selling oil is going to be the least of his concerns.
All right, you all set up?
I've got quite a few rags nestled in the dry grass. Should I douse them with gas?
No, not yet. The wind's died down. I'm guessing it'll pick back up. And we'll send flames barreling right for their operation.
So what do we do for now?
Let's stay out of sight. And when the wind's right, we'll light this fire.
I heard a splash. Come on, we've got to help.
How? We can't even see him.
Boys, stay on the rim.
There's no sign of Eddie. The hole drops down into what looks like a deep pool of water. Look, there he is. He's stuck underneath the flowstone. But he's nowhere near the hole.
Quick, here's some loose rocks. Support your own weight on the rim and smash through.
He broke through. Grab Eddie. Eddie, are you okay?
I'm okay. I'm alive.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
While Eddie was recovering, Jesse and Ryan decided to check on the dinosaur graveyard.
I hear they have a new docent at the graveyard.
Yeah, he knows a lot about Coelophysis dinosaurs. Wait, look out there in the distance. What do you see over there?
Smoke.
It's probably nothing, but I think we should check it out.
At the same time, Dad and I met with Pastor Fletcher at his favorite Mexican restaurant in Santa Fe, Fiestas.
Here's your menus, and I'll be back to take your order in a few minutes.
That'll be great. Thanks for meeting me here, gentlemen. I have a lot of questions.
Questions?
Last night at Bible study, one of our regular attendees said something that really made me think.
In what way?
Well, both he and I are in agreement that as Christians, we can't turn our back on science. And like you've admitted, the majority of PhD scientists are convinced the Earth is very ancient.
Well, that's true. Most scientists do say that. But a majority doesn't make something true.
But then he took it much further, showing that there are other scriptures that he claims are scientifically inaccurate.
Do you agree with him?
Well, he went as far as to question the resurrection of Christ. I definitely do not question that.
But he did?
I think the point he was trying to make is that when we take an honest look, the Bible does make some scientific mistakes. And for that reason, we can start to make our own determinations about when we can trust its plain meaning, or when we should consider God's bigger spiritual teaching behind it.
Is that what you believe?
Not at all. But he says my stance on Genesis is the same thing.
Is it different?
Yes. He's questioning the very validity of the miracles, and even the physical resurrection of Christ. Those are the pillars of our faith.
Well, Pastor Fletcher, we'd say the same about Genesis.
I know you would. I personally feel that we may not really know the truth about creation until we're in eternity. But I don't take Genesis lightly. It's important we understand that God is the creator, and we were created by him, and that we rebelled.
Well, in other words, we need to understand the important spiritual lessons of creation, not necessarily to try to fit it into a scientific framework.
Exactly. We need to look for the bigger spiritual application. Wow. Darren's right. I'm saying the same thing he is.
Pastor Fletcher, I was an evolutionist before God humbled me and revealed my rebellion and need for his forgiveness only a few short years ago. And you've probably spent much more time studying God's word than I have. So I say this to you in humility and respect. I think you need to settle what you truly believe about God's word.
If you're referring to Genesis, maybe you're right.
Well, it's more than just Genesis. Pastor Fletcher, God's word stands on its own. It doesn't need man's confirmation. I say we lay aside the scientific issues for now and just focus on the scriptures.
I agree. That sounds good to me.
Oh, wow! It is a fire!
This could get really out of hand.
Over there! I saw some gunny sacks in the grass. Come on!
Oh, what are we going to do?
We're using to swat out the flames.
Here, take this one.
Thanks. Okay, let's hurry and get this out before it spreads.
Wow, Jonathan, you almost ate that entire burrito.
I can't believe how large they are here.
Okay, well, you guys have given me more to think about today.
Ah, I'm sorry. I'll just ignore. Oops, it's Zach. Now, give me just a moment. Hello, Zach.
Kendall, I hate to be the bearer of more bad news.
More sabotage by Dilts?
Not this time. While exploring with the Eagle's Nest, we came across a place in which we believe the cave has shifted.
Really? We need to close Hidden Cave immediately. We don't want to put any of our guests in danger.
Oh, no!
We're going to have more unhappy visitors, but we need to do it.
All right, Zach, we're on our way. Bye. I'm sorry, Pastor, but we've got to get back to the ranch.
Okay, I'll pray for safety. Oh, and before you go, Jim and Henry are going to meet me at the church later this afternoon to begin laying carpet in the sanctuary, but the carpet didn't come.
I'll let him know. Okay, come on, Jonathan. Let's go.
Keep stuffing the fire out with these sacks.
It's working.
For me, too. I'll get this side. You get that one.
I wonder how this started.
Me, too. Maybe the hot sun.
Oh, I hope it wasn't arson.
Everything else. Okay, I think we're going to get it.
Oh, no. The wind's starting to blow.
Look out, Jess. Are you okay?
Yes, I just got a little too close.
I need to call Mr. Morgan. Mr. Morgan, are you there?
How can I help you, Ryan?
Mr. Morgan, we've got a fire starting to burn out.
out of control just southeast of the dinosaur graveyard.
What? You're kidding.
We need your help right away.
I'm going to call 911, and then we'll get out there with the maintenance crew until the fire department gets there. For now, Ryan, you just stay back. You could be in serious danger.
Will they be able to put out the fire? How long will Hidden Cave be closed? To find out, you'll need to join us next time for part two of Jonathan Park and the Passage into the Deep. You've been listening to The Adventures of Jonathan Park. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Park and Brennans try to put out the fire before it threatens the lives of their guests in the exciting conclusion of Jonathan Park and the Passage into the Deep.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.